Hey everyone, I was hoping to get this message put together sooner, but things like this unfortunately take time to set up. I just want to say that the acts of war against Ukraine break my heart, and I know as a prior service member myself that my thoughts and prayers go out to everyone who's fighting the fight that they really shouldn't have to. That being said, we have been working behind the scenes with all of our podcasts and podcast partners to put a fund together in order to pay for any refugee housing and other needs that go alongside that, like food, water, and any clothing needs. Internally, many podcasts in the Hospitality FM network have voluntarily given up sponsorship money in order to donate to the cause and are working on a unified message in order to spread throughout all of our podcasts. So this is me calling out to all of our property manager friends, industry experts, and anyone knowing of those providing lodging for Ukrainian refugees seeking safety. You can contact me directly at Will, with one L, W-I-L, at slicktalkmedia.com. We have an internal document that is being updated in real time, so if anyone could share this message within your network, we'd greatly appreciate it. I'm also placing in the show notes a link to our GoFundMe and landing page for Rentals to Rescue. That's rentalstorescue.com, where we're putting funds together in order to, again, provide finances for any of these lodging and relocation needs. So thank you so much for tuning into this quick message. I hope you guys are all well and safe, as I know we have tons of listeners in Ukraine and other countries in Europe. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode.
Hello.
How are we doing today?
Day of the week, especially coming off a long Thanksgiving break.
Yeah, you guys feeling stuffed like my turkey was Thursday? Turkey, gobble. Got him.
We don't have it in here, so I'm no.
You don't have turkeys?
No. They just talk about turkey, I'm speaking. This Thursday, Friday, on a conference in Turkey. I should go to Turkey, but I can't because I'm quarantined. So there's not a turkey, but we talk about turkeys. That's only turkey.
Wait, let's rewind. there's definitely turkeys in Europe, right?
There's turkeys, and yeah, we do have turkeys. Yeah,
They didn't celebrate Turkey Day like we did.
We don't. Oh, no, we not. Have no Turkey Day.
Unfortunately, well, that's a bummer.
Next year, I'm going to celebrate. So we still have the show, but for sure we have, because our listeners think, what can I do without us? So next year, I'm going to celebrate Thanksgiving. And I will just send a photo of my turkey.
Perfect. Gobble. Love it. Awesome. Well, good to be back. Happy Monday, everyone who's listening. This week's topic is meta, but not the meta that you think. It's meta search. And we've talked about meta search before in the past. But with the whole metaverse and OTAs and conversations that we've been having the last couple weeks, especially after Focusrite, it just felt right to go back into meta search. So we have a couple things to hit before we get to that. I do want to give a quick shout out to our awesome sponsors. Not Breezeway, I almost said Breezeway. Jetstream, they're amazing. Our folks out in Canada. So just really thankful that you guys give us the opportunity to keep streaming the way we do. And of course we'll be plugging in some ads from Jetstream, but good job Jetstream for being our number ones. We love you guys. And, awesome. So to kick it off, I know we have a startup of the week, but is there anything that you guys want to say before we jump into this awesome episode?
No? There's a lot that I want to say.
Okay. There we go.
But maybe off topic or for the paid subscribers afterwards.
Yeah. Let's leave it off here.
Okay. Sounds good.
I want to open a can of worms this early on a Monday.
That's the best part about Mondays.
You got some breaking news, or you have some rumors in the industry, or you got something to share?
No. We'll talk about it after the show.
Okay. Oh, shoot. I'm excited now. All right. Well,
we'll switch it off after. Just pretend to tell Will that we are, to tell Michael that we are actually
off. I know how to read a live button.
Okay. Let's jump in. What's with the noise, baby? I love it. What's with the noise? Here comes Grandma.
Hello, hello. This week on What's With the Noise, want to discuss a new company called DTravel and their travel token, the self-proclaimed next evolution of home sharing. And when you think about travel and combining it with blockchain, we've touched on it on the show before, and it's super interesting. We'd love to have one of the DTravel folks on in the future to explain it a little bit further for us. But the token launched, I believe, last week, and it looks like it is trading up since the launch. And if you follow the stock markets, everything is down. So kudos to them for the launch of the token and also for the positive feedback this early. Well done, DTravel.
Yeah, this week, the startup of the week is a meta search, but it's a different one. And I have to connect it to the topic. So this week will be Check My Bus. Check My Bus is actually a meta search platform where you can just actually compare bus tickets with each other. Actually, I had a call before this recording with Mark, together with Mark and a few other ones who are joining on Thursday for the USA Crota Summit, actually where we'll be moderating this session. So Mark, of the CEO of Check My Bus, will be there as well. So it's interesting to see that actually there's meta search also for different services around travel. We talk about other meta search soon, but for this week is Check My Bus. I just had a small research. What I could find that they did a round in 2018, 1.4 million. I'm not sure they did anything afterwards. I'm curious. I will ask him actually soon when I speak to him again, but well done to be the startup of the week. Check My Bus, meta search for buses. So thank you.
Interesting. So I'm curious to know, is Check My Bus, are they based in Europe or are they American?
Don't ask me those difficult questions, but it's a it's a German company, if I get correct. And okay. I think they're focusing on the European market. So
okay. I was like, yeah. I don't know how popular buses are here in the US. Like I know out here.
Or actually, if you look at the website, you see that Greyhound Megabus, which is Los yeah. Angeles, San Diego. So it seems yeah. to be actually so great. They are more American focused if you see the offerings on their website. So, yeah.
There's pockets where buses are really popular, like San Francisco. There's the tech buses that'll shuttle you out to Google and Facebook and all that. And then in like Texas, there's another kind of tech bus. Good internet, just a straight shot.
That's the thing, right? I just spoke with him about this experience. Normally in the flight, I just went on a flight to Volkswagen. I thought, okay, there's Wi-Fi on board. It was a disaster. It was working, but that's pretty it. They don't say that's pretty it. So on the other hand, in the bus, you're more flexible, less restrictions, a bit easier to travel. And also you see something a bit more than clouds, right? So this is pretty interesting. Actually, also, we just mentioned last year that some alternative transportation company, so not something different than flights, actually raised some quite large funds. So interesting to explore this further.
Not to show my age, but I was watching TikTok last night, and there was a video about this like new high-end luxury bus, and it's New York. It takes you from New York to DC, and it's got like all this like nice, comfy, like jet. Like it looks like a private jet on the inside. It's got like 14 seats, high fast internet, complimentary beer and wine and snacks and all this other stuff. I think it's called the Jet. I honestly think that's the name of the bus, but I saw that last night and was like, oh, this would actually be something I would particularly use. I'm not a big fan of buses, but the experience
look
behind
this luxury guy, you see, he's so successful. He just doing vacation, went to so many businesses, launching new brands soon.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Entrepreneur Will Slickers.
No, but like it just is something more attractive, right? The experience, I think. So,
true. I think if you go by car, it's like a three and a half hours, New York, Washington. Mm. Or is it more? Something like this?
Something like that, maybe four.
Yeah.
But look, if you have to go to the airport, find some parking, then you have to be there 2 hours before. Just say, okay, maybe in a domestic flight, just say at least 1.5 hours, just something like this. There are often delays. Then you just have to, from the airport, travel again. So if you take like an
yeah, but like Michael, if you think about the two markets you just mentioned,
yeah,
New York and DC, getting in a car and or on a bus, no way. Too much traffic, too unpredictable.
Mm.
That's why, I mean, I'm partial to the train system in Europe. I love it because usually, at least in Germany, they're pretty on time and there's no traffic you're going to run into. Once you get on the train, you're going to get off at the expected time. If you get on a bus, you have zero control over traffic. You could be on that for hours longer than expected. So that said, depending on the market, if it's not a heavy traffic market, then it's probably fine. But you have to deal with that big layer of unpredictability.
Well, dang it. If this thing didn't just show up on my screen. Hang on. I almost got it. Just Googled DC to New York, the jet, and it gave me the bus. So that's good. But this is what it shows. This is totally off topic, so we can always skip it. But I thought it was quite interesting now that we're talking about the startup of the week.
It would be interesting to look into like mobility actually as a second topic you saw. Not for today, because today we have an amazing topic of meta search, but it's that's not bad, actually. That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, the Jet, a luxury bus startup, is offering $99 bus rides between Washington, D.C. and New York. There's more on the article.
Okay, but we can make a deal with them. So they'll be startup of the week for next week, and they give us some tickets.
Let's do an episode on the Jet, right? That'd be kind of fun.
That would be fun. Let's go for that one.
Anyways, sorry, totally off topic. I just got that like last minute thought from my TikToking throughout the night.
So they're targeting kids of 15. What is there? I don't know. This, okay, never mind. Let's move to meta search.
Yes, meta search. So, not metaverse. There's a big difference, but I would say this is more of an area in your guys' realm that goes into. I know because like Golden Kayak, Ross Bidroom, and you know, going into the whole OTA sector / creating niche pockets. I would love to get your guys' overall perspective of what's going on with MetaSearch. What do you think? Like, what's your overall perspective? Anything exciting? Anything that you think is going to die with MetaSearch? Is it actually rising? I don't know. I just want your guys' expertise up in this topic.
I will say it's not dying. I think it's changing. And I think a lot of MetaSearch still have a huge audience, right? They're only looking now into how can I get this audience? How can I monetize them differently? And I think the old meta search model, lead generation, CPC, CPS, is maybe this one is dead, I would say, or sleeping. Maybe keep it nicer, but they're really looking at different revenue streams with Kayak, with their Lifehouse brand. You see TripAdvisor with their subscription program. So you see a lot of, they were changing, they have a large audience from the past. And now they're really looking, okay, how can we monetize them differently? And I think that's what you more see what's going to happen. And again, I don't think it's that. I think it's changing.
Okay. So I may go into that a little bit then. What's the biggest change, I guess?
Monetization model, I think. It's that they have an audience, right? And you can see before they are just pushing traffic, like just looking at an example as TripAdvisor. They're actually sending travel to Booking, Expedia, etc. So they always get lead fees or CPCs, etc. Now you can see, okay, they're just the OTAs and Booking is saying, okay, I'm not going to pay you so much anymore or not or whatever, because meta search without Booking is pretty useless because we're the biggest out there. So I'm going to pay you much more anymore. So what they have to do is, okay, we have this audience. How can we monetize them differently? And I think still, for example, if we're looking at TA TripAdvisor, I think they're quite late by introducing the subscription program. I do believe personally, a lot in subscriptions, right? Bedroom is not much differently. And
I was going to say, I wonder why.
It's almost identical. No, it's, if you see their subscription program of TripAdvisor Plus, it's actually, I would say, almost a copy of what we did, right? It's just, okay, we gave a better deal. On the other hand, now they're changing a bit because they have some, they're struggling a bit, as you probably saw in the media. I think at the end, they have a large audience and they can do a lot with this audience, right? And offering different kind of experiences, better integrating better with partners. So there's a lot of possibilities. Again, maybe they waited a bit too long. And I think as well is like the meta search is should, I think, more focusing how to drive users back, driving loyalty for those users. And that might not be done there. Well, at the end, it's interesting to see that, and I think Michael can tell more about it, that Kayak, for example, moved into the hotel space by launching a Lifehouse as own brand, which is pretty interesting because it means, okay, we can push our traffic, our audience to those brands.
Yeah.
Michael?
Yeah. I mean, I think you're, I agree I'm with right. most of your points.
most of them? Okay.
Not all of them. Yeah. So I think you're right that they have to trade on their audiences, right? They have recognizable brands, TripAdvisor, Kayak, Priceline. Like they're out there, they're recognizable, people know them. But their market share isn't growing. And in fact, it's probably only shrinking. Does that mean it's a dying business? It means it's a shrinking business. And they have to find new ways to monetize it, which we're going to see them experiment in different ways. TripAdvisor, like you said, is experimenting with subscriptions. Kayak is experimenting with, hey, we've got this great, cool brand. Let's throw it on a hotel and drive bookings. You know, we'll see what Priceline does and what Orbitz does and what all these other companies end up doing. But I think, I mean, if you look at short-term rentals too, Home2Go started out as Meta and now they're trying to become a straight OTA. Mm-hmm. So the race or the competition for listings, everybody's got every listing. Like all of the OTAs share tons of listings, whether it's hotels or short-term rentals. There's not a whole lot of unique inventory on Kayak versus Orbitz versus someone else, right? So they have to figure out ways to monetize their current audience, which you're spot on about. I might have a less rosy colored future for them as it is a shrinking, in my view, I don't have their numbers, but seemingly shrinking segment. But that gives opportunity for them to test new things, which is super exciting for us in travel. Like I'm excited to see how far Kayak hotels can go and how far TripAdvisor subscriptions can go and what new ideas these audiences come up with. But Meta, as we knew it, is going to be challenged in the future.
Well, I think they're built as Meta, and that's what you see when you're talking to all of them, right? And I spoke a few of them 1.5 weeks ago. They're built as a Meta search, and they might want to move more into become an OTA or just, but they're not prepared for it. If you look at the infrastructure, the things they have built, none of them. So if you're looking at, doesn't matter, if you look at TA, Trivago, or Reorbitz, all the other ones, they're just built as price comparison platforms or review collections, etc. They're not built as being OTA, where you have to deal with connectivity in a completely different way. I had one of them I had a discussion with 1.5 weeks ago. I said, yeah, but we have connections with hotels, with channel managers. And it's okay, but the way you're connecting actually, yeah, but we can push them bookings. But do you collect the data? Do you have push-pull connectivity? No, we don't have. So actually, they don't have the data from the hotels about availability and everything. So actually, they just had a meta search. They want to add some things, some layers to maybe monetize differently, and they might can push a booking, but they can't request other data, etc. So they're not built as an OTA, and I think that's the legacy they have, and that might, in the end, yeah, has an impact and probably what Michael said, shrink their business.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to watch. We've got a lot of activity on the acquisition side, you know, booking being the main driver there. They've bought $2 billion businesses in the past 30 days. Is that something that Kayak is out looking to buy businesses to add to their portfolio? I believe, was it Kayak that bought OpenTable before or after the booking acquisition? I can't recall, but
I'm looking it up.
Opportunities for synergies within, you know, as Booking calls it, the connected trip is going to be interesting. Booking bought a new platform for flights, which was one of the segments they were missing in a big way. So I think parent companies looking at it holistically, does each segment do it individually and look at it? We've got, you know, Trivago owned by Expedia, Kayak owned by Priceline, Skyscanner, that's another one.
Ctrip.
They're owned by
the Chinese. But that's what they did. That, and that's maybe going to happen. It's okay. Because if you look at the value of TripAdvisor, is it $4 billion? If you look at the value of a Booking.com, 80, 90 nowadays, the latest valuation. So look at those differences, actually, when you start monetizing and actually become an OTA instead of just lead generation. It's the same with if you look at the value of Trivago. And that's why you see Skyscanner, indeed acquired by Ctrip, by the Chinese, actually just to push their own brand, trip.com. So actually they just acquired this one just actually to push and increase their own business. So maybe you see some moves as well. You saw, of course, Getaroom is not a meta search, but it's a platform we actually can drive and push transactions to the booking holdings supply. Yeah. And it might happen as well as, okay, maybe a few of the meta searches, okay, we have an audience, they might become part of an OTA. Of course, it already happened with TripAdvisor, Expedia. You might see some changes there as well. It's like, Alex, how can we indeed push indeed volume to OTAs, which has the market value, which is just say 20, 30 times more than that?
Yeah, I think the one other meta that we're ignoring besides the company Meta, which we'll leave my comments on or thoughts on that name aside, is Google. Google is the new age meta, right? If you're starting a trip, you're most likely starting that on Google. And maybe it leads you to a Priceline or an Orbitz or a Trivago or something like that. But Google is the ultimate meta. And yeah, I think if you look at Google's top two customers, it's Expedia,
Booking.com. Booking, yeah.
So it's interesting to see Google doing more and more. They're in vacation rentals. They're in hotels. They're obviously in flights. They're in all these segments. So where's the room for growth of other metas when Google is so dominant? Maybe it's an antitrust piece of legislation that comes in the future.
But it's also commercially clever, right? If you just, now they can say, look, Booking, if we just stop advertising, we can push it easy to others, to direct supply or to brands directly, right? They can easily do. Of course, they do a bit as well. But on the other hand, now they have a good negotiating, of course, they can do with Booking and Expedia because they can have the control and they can send it tomorrow to somebody else and somebody else can become tomorrow number one or number two OTA easily, right? If they soon Google is pushing Bitroom, for example, we'll be just out competing them because of massive traffic. So I can't announce it yet. No, but it is interesting to see. Like you saw the same with when Alibaba, right? Our Chinese friend, they launched Fliggy Travel. I don't know if you know the story. They launched a travel brand. In 2 days, they're the second largest travel company in China because they had a massive audience already because of the Alibaba. So you might see that even if Amazon is launching a travel brand, it could be massive, right? Etc. So you might see this space a bit more as well, that other companies who have a large audience, which could be need a search engine, which could be become, which could be indeed a meta search, etc. They're launching a travel brand with a massive audience. Yeah, they can monetize it differently. And especially when you're just doing it based on transactions, you become an OTA, of course, it has much more value, right? What the difference is pretty easy. If you just can charge the customer €400 for a stay, and in that case, you just maybe have to pay out whatever, $380, you're making $20. If you just get some lead generation, you have no control, you have no data, no customer data, completely different valuation. So let's see what's going to happen.
Well, I want to know, is my generation Or is the younger generation going
to be... generation is 18-21, right? Your generation, or...
Oh, you're so
the TikTok funny. Generation.
Yeah, the TikTokers. But I'm curious, like, because a lot of us immediately go, like, when I go onto my phone, when I go to a hotel, I immediately go to my Marriott app. When I go to a vacation rental, I immediately usually go to Airbnb or Vrbo, right? So, like, is metasearch gonna... Is it going to be sustainable with the younger traveler that doesn't really care to go compare prices? They just want to hop onto their loyal number one app that they use and go from there.
So it's I don't know. I think
people, right? I guess.
I think everyone's a little different. Like, while I do prefer Marriott, I'm not a loyalist when staying in Marriott. I am an absolute loyalist flying Delta. Like, yeah. I will only go to Delta.com.
We know.
But when I start my hotel search, I go to Google and I figure out where I want to be in town. And then I look at the hotels that are right around it. So for me, I book hotels based on location and I book flight purely based on Delta. Like, and I think everyone has kind of different reward systems set up for themselves. Like some people that might be flying out of a city that has a lot of different flight options might not be loyalists on flights, but maybe they are on hotels. Mm-hmm. I'm in the short-term rental space, so it's tough for me to, like, a lot of times when I travel, I'm staying in short-term rentals. So it doesn't make sense for me to build loyalty with a hotel brand because I don't stay in them often enough. Mm-hmm. So I book based on location. And then everyone books based on what their needs are. You said you go straight to Airbnb. My parents would go straight to Vrbo, right?
Yeah.
So it all just depends on the customer persona.
I
think with hotels, it's easy to compare as well, right? You see that maybe in the short-term rental, it's more difficult to compare because some listings are only in Airbnb, some of them are in Vrbo, and some of them are double. But then you're comparing probably two. If you're looking at the hotel space, you're just comparing the hotel directly and Expedia, Booking,
and there's no
four or five other ones,
right? You could book a four-bedroom house on the same street, and one's a $2 million house and one's a $200,000 house. Like, there's just it is a lot harder to compare from a meta standpoint. You have to get granular with rentals.
Yeah.
So
price is still, we did research some time ago, and price is still often is the main reason for book something, right? If you're looking at the comparison, price is crucial. And people using, of course, also often say, okay, I want to make sure I've got a good deal. I feel good. You buy something at the same, if you're buying whatever, if Will needs a new microphone, just, it's good to compare it at the end. Okay. I just have a good deal. Feels good. If you just know you have a good deal. And that's probably, of course, people using also MetaSearch for it. Probably TripAdvisor as well for reviews, even though they removed a couple million a few weeks ago. But we did the same on Bitroom. What we did, we just actually add and show the rates of Booking Expedia for our users. Okay, look, this is the rate on Booking. This is the rate on Expedia. And this is our rate. Also, of course, we increase our conversion there that people don't have to shop somewhere else, right? It doesn't make sense. So we're doing it less and less. Okay, people are on the platform. Just make sure that the user experience is great. So don't even have to look further. And people at the end know that we have a better deal. But it's also, of course, you just want to make sure that if you're buying something, it doesn't matter if it's a travel, if it's a stay, or did you have a fair deal? I think that's really important. Doesn't always have the best, but a fair deal, right? And you feel pretty shit if it's okay. I just see that actually I could have the same room with the same breakfast and the same pillow. I could have it $50 cheaper. You'll not be happy. So that's probably the reason people are still buying and using the metasearch. If you know that what is happening, of course, the whole rate parity part and the rates are more coming closer to each other, when you say, okay, at the end, where I book, I use the one which has the best user experience for me. I know anyway, I will just pay $200 per night. Doesn't matter which platform, like an IAG, for example, where you can only a Bitroom is cheaper, but normally everywhere else is the same rate. There's no sense to go to a metasearch because the rate is the same anyway, right? So at the end, if you're really looking for more filtering, searching, then it does make sense. You see also people say, I'm using metasearch actually to pick my hotel and then maybe still go to the hotel directly. Could be just to use it for filtering options. Also people using Booking more as a metasearch often. I heard this story as well. Like, I'm using Booking because it's amazing to search the property and then I'm reaching out to the property as well. Also happening. So it's more that the convenience of searching and comparison is useful. I think it will become less and less when you say, okay, I'm just looking for the location actually on Google. But if I want to book, I just know that the rate is the same anyway. Why should I go to Metasearch?
Yeah.
Yeah. The benefits are becoming challenging of Meta. So now it becomes a loyalty. Like, I've booked on Kayak for my past 20 vacations. I'm going to do it again. Those are the travelers. And maybe they pick up new travelers, TripAdvisor by adding the subscription, and Kayak by having a hotel or a few hotels, and probably more in the future. So I think it's interesting to see how they're going about getting new customer acquisition by trying out these alternative routes.
They're going to focus more on retention, and that's what I think all they're going to do. They have the audience try to get the retention there, and maybe look less into acquisition, more retention. And that's what I don't understand. I think if they were just more busy with this retention part and understand their user, they could, if I would have a meta search, doesn't matter which one, and they really recommend me places, price is okay, but they recommend you a place which is actually suitable for me because they know me, because I was searching there for the several times, and then they gave me a good deal, but they know, okay, I'm going to go with my family, et cetera, et cetera. And they know you as a user. What we try to do as well, understand our members. We recommend you places which actually make sense for you. And I think that's what they not do, because they just... you can make your account, but it doesn't give you really recommended places, which is actually suits for you. And I think if they were just doing this, then there's a huge need for a meta search, or there could be a bigger need for a meta search, because actually recommending you something, which is actually something you were looking for, right? Instead of just putting always the same filters, always putting the same kind of, I've got a kid of 2, I've got a kid of 11, etc. I have to do every platform the same. Pretty annoying. I can save this. This is my profile. And then based on this, I'm going out with my family. Who are you traveling with my family? They know who is joining. And it's also for your user experience. You can use it and recommend me places where you can stay with 4 people in a room or an apartment, right? And not showing me rooms which you have one double bed. And that's pretty it. So I think if they were just make a move in investing or focusing on this user experience and less maybe on price comparison, I think that will become more useful and more relevant, because again, price comparison, you can do the same on Google. So
I agree. Right. I think it's going to come down to the experience, but all right. Last segment of the day, right? So whose brand is it anyways? We'll do this. We'll hop off and we'll kick off the week with a great another episode of Good Morning Hospitality. So you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Whose brand is it anyway? And today,
can I go ahead and guess before you say the brand? Because that's pretty much all I'm going to do.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it. I'll let you do it.
IHG.
All right. Well, Ross, you want to guess?
Or I want to see the brand.
Okay, so no seeing, but you're going to hear it. So it's 4 points. 4 points hotels.
But 4 points with Sheraton. It's
Sheraton's by Marriott. So yeah. Marriott.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marriott. Yay. You guys got one.
Yay.
Except for Golden. Who guessed early.
Can we do it? We can do a virtual high five. Does it work?
Cracks the case.
You see, we have a ranking somewhere.
We should. We should have a ranking. I'll create a board. There's so many things I have to do for this show.
Come on, do you know our preparation? I always have we do 4 times per week. I have me and Mike have like a preparation calls and everything.
Oh, I
a
bet.
Lot of our time.
I bet you do. I bet you do.
Sunday night is just rehearsal.
Yeah. It's just rehearsal. Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you, gentlemen, both for a really great episode. I actually enjoyed the conversation of Meta. I think we can definitely dive into more. I want to reach out to the Jet Bus and see if we can get us an episode on there. But other than
live on the Jet Bus.
Live on the Jet Bus. Have a great week, and thank you again to Jetstream and to all of our live viewers this week. We love you guys, and we'll see you all next Monday.